Welcome for worship. It's really lovely to share this fourth Sunday in Advent with you all. An especially warm welcome for anyone joining us for the first time or after a long break. Thank you all for following the instructions of the stewards, which are designed to keep everyone safe. Today is our Nativity service, and like a lot of things this year, it will be a bit different. As you will soon see, part is live and part has been pre-recorded. Please look up at the projection screen during the pre-recorded sections, and you will see a picture of the speaker and the subtitles with the words they are saying. Unfortunately, we can't sing along with the carols this year, but we will be presenting a selection of tasters of some old and new favourites. Apart from the first and the last, the hymns won't be announced. If you could please remain seated during the service, including the carols, and a reminder to allow those in the front pews to leave before you attempt to do so at the end of the service. Following the Scottish Government's move to 3 weeks of Level 4 restrictions from Boxing Day, our church service on the 27th of December and the 10th of January will now be online Zoom services. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 89, verse 1. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth, I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. Let us pray. Loving and forgiving Father, you sent your beloved Son Jesus to be with us and help us. We are sorry when we forget that we owe you everything, everything we are and everything we have. We are sorry when we haven't treated other people with love and kindness. We are sorry when we haven't looked after our world. Please forgive us. Please send your Holy Spirit to help us to follow your way more closely as we hear your word spoken this morning. We ask in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Please read along as we listen to the first hymn, Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room.
Joy to the world. That's a laugh, isn't it? What joy is there just now? It's just awful. Christmas will just not be the same this year. It's just awful.
Christmas is always the same. A very special time.
Not this year, it's not. No parties or lunches out. You can't do that by Zoom. Christmas shopping is a nightmare in this town too, especially when we have to wear these masks. It's just exhausting. It's not fair. I mean, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
It's not all about parties, lunches out. Yes, it's nice to celebrate with friends, but Christmas means much more than that. To us Christians, it means celebrating the birth of Jesus. Plus, it is a season of goodwill when we to remember others.
Did you know all this was prophesied?
Did I know all what was prophesied?
All this virus stuff, it was prophesied.
What?
Oh, well, I can't remember his name, the man that prophesied it. Some man years and years ago said this would happen. It's in a book. He said lots of other stuff would happen too. Amazing, isn't it?
The birth of Jesus was prophesied too. By the same guy? Did he write about that too?
No, not the same guy. It was foretold way before then.
Where did you read that?
In the Bible.
The Bible? I didn't know that. So the Bible has all these prophecies too. But you didn't tell us about all this carry-on. It would have been nice if we were warned about it. Maybe our parties and everything wouldn't be cancelled. I usually have a house full over the Christmas season, but that's not going to happen now. Why weren't we told about these prophecy things? Might have saved Christmas.
That's how it works, I'm afraid.
Well, I would like to know how they get to know these things. Just imagine being able to do that.
Do what?
See into the future. So these Bible prophets, did they foresee anything else? And how did they do it? That's what I would like to know.
Oh, it's not some kind of magic. The prophets in the Bible were told by God.
About the COVID thing?
No, about the birth of Jesus. Remember I said that the real reason for celebrating Christmas... Listen, I have something here that might be interested in if you are not familiar with the Christmas story. Would you like to see it? I have it here on my tablet. Oh, come and have a look.
Might as well. I've nothing else to do. Can't really go anywhere.
As I said, the birth of Jesus and the events leading up to it were prophesied in the Old Testament in the Bible. Now, that's the first half of the Bible. Mm-hmm. One of the prophets was called Isaiah. There are other prophets too.
No, that's not the name of the guy I was talking about. No, that definitely wasn't his name.
No, I know, it wouldn't be. Just you watch.
people had fallen short of God's expectations for them. There was so much sinning going on in the world and people were falling away from God. The prophet Isaiah proclaimed, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough for you to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel."
Emmanuel? I thought we were talking about Jesus.
Well, Emmanuel means God is with us. God came to earth as Jesus.
Well, that's a bit confusing.
Look, keep watching and you may understand a little better. So the people waited for the Messiah, that's Jesus, and Jesus would enable us to get back into relationship with God. You are not too familiar with this part of the story, are you?
Too familiar about it all. I know there were shepherds and three wise men and camels and angels too. I see them on Christmas cards, etc. But I usually buy cards with funny Santas and snowmen. They're really Christmassy.
Right, let's watch and get some more of this.
My name is Mary. I didn't think I was anything special. I was engaged to be married to Joseph and I just went about my daily life like everyone else. I did, however, love my God. One day, as I was doing my chores, an angel came to me. I was terrified. The angel told me that I would conceive a child and he would be a boy. I just didn't understand it as I wasn't married yet to Joseph. The angel said I had found favour with God and I would conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit. I was really frightened at the thought of that, but I love my God and if it was his will, then I would accept it. I was worried about what Joseph would do.
I am the angel that brought the news to Mary. The poor girl was terrified, but I reassured her that it was God's will and that everything would be fine. I told her that her baby would be a boy and she would call him Jesus.
Did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy would come to make you? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know?
I'm Joseph, and I was engaged to Mary. When she told me the news about the baby, I must admit I was not happy. I thought she'd been unfaithful to me. I just imagined what everyone would say about it and how I'd be a laughingstock. I knew too the kind of things that everyone would say about Mary. It all seemed a real mess. I could hardly sleep at all. An angel came to me in a dream and told me what Mary had told me was true, and not to be ashamed to still take her as my wife. I did love Mary, and accepted that this was God's will despite what people would think.
Poor Joseph. I never realised all that. No wonder he was angry at first.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the virgin birth that we hear about.
It is indeed. Now, the story continues. Here we go.
The people knew that a Messiah would come someday, but did not know when that day would come. They expected the Messiah to come as a great king, but it didn't happen that way. Now in the east there were three wise men, or magi as they were known. They were very clever and studied astronomy. They had been studying a bright new star in the sky. In those days they believed a discovery like that usually indicated to something special was about to happen. The birth of a new king, perhaps.
I am Balthazar, one of the Magi. I am the clever one. It was I who first identified the new star. I was very interested in how it appeared to get brighter and brighter. And the more I studied it, the more I knew something special was about to happen. It was I who suggested we follow the star.
I am Melchior, one of the Magi. I am not only the clever one, but I am the handsome one, too. What a great combination to be. I was fascinated to discover the new star in the sky, and very excited about what it could mean. A new king? I suggested we follow the star to the king's palace to see if there was a new king born or about to be born.
I am Caspar, one of the Magi. I don't class myself as handsome or clever, but then I am more modest than the other two. I hate to burst Balthazar's bubble, but it was really me who discovered that star first. But my job, as usual, was to pack up the instruments, provisions, and saddle up the camels. I always got the tedious jobs, but they must be done. Melchior wanted to go to the king's palace in Israel to see if there was in fact a newborn king. I wasn't sure about that, but then again, I'm just the one who gets the dirty work to do.
So, the Magi set off east and followed the star. First they went to King Herod's palace to see if, in fact, a new king had been born. Herod was a nasty man and was furious that a new king was born. He asked the Magi to come back and tell him where the new king was so he himself could worship him. But he had other plans. He was so jealous he'd planned to kill all the newborn baby boys.
Herod was a nasty man. We angels had to do something. This was a job for a big angel.
I had to warn the Magi not to return to Herod, so I appeared to them in a dream. Once they had seen the baby, I told them to go home via a different route.
Herod guy, he was rather nasty. So what happened next?
Well...
That.
Oh. I'm just a little donkey, as you can plainly see. Everyone loves the little angels, but does anyone love me? My coat, it may be jaggy, my four legs rather wee, but guess who's taking Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem? Yep, you've guessed, it's me. With a hee and a haw and a clip and a clop, we're going on a long journey, but I hope we get to Stolz. I've got to carry Mary and all the bits and bobs. Maybe it's because I'm not so cute that I get all the heavy jobs. But I'll do it, because I do believe that it is such a special thing to be needed to carry the mother of our Messiah and our King. With a hee and a haw and a clip and a clop, we're going on a long journey, but I hope we get to stop.
Thank you.
It's me, Joseph, here again. Mary and I had to travel back to my hometown of Bethlehem to take part in the census. By this time, Mary was heavily pregnant, and so the journey was not going to be easy. She couldn't really walk far with being so big, so she had to ride on the donkey, and I walked. It was exhausting. My feet were covered in blisters.
The journey to Bethlehem was just awful. I was tired and so uncomfortable sitting on that poor wee donkey. Joseph walked all the way. I felt sorry for him, but there was really no way I could have walked. The road at times was busy with people travelling to their respective towns. It was a bit scary too, especially when it got dark. I feared robbers and thugs, but God kept us safe.
We eventually reached Bethlehem. By this time we were both exhausted and Mary was near to having the baby. I felt useless at times as she was in so much pain. I tried to find us somewhere to stay for the night, but the town was bursting at the seams. There was no place with rooms at all. We were desperate. One kind innkeeper had no rooms but offered us a dry and warm stable round the back of the inn. It was a bit smelly, as there were some animals there, but at least it was out of the cold.
Bethlehem was absolutely bursting at the seams because of the census. Business for us, in fact, every innkeeper was good. There were no rooms anywhere. We thought we would have to turn the young couple away. And when we remembered we had a dry stable out back they could shelter in.
It certainly was not the way I expected my baby to be born. Amongst animals, the innkeeper's wife was very helpful, thank goodness, as I was terrified.
So, in that stable Jesus Christ was born, a new king born, not in a palace, or some other grand home, but in a smelly stable. The new baby was placed in a manger to sleep, not the way that everyone would expect the Son of God to be born.
Prophesied that Jesus would be born in a stable.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that if he was going to be a Messiah, he would have been born somewhere a bit more grand.
Mm-hmm. But you see, that's why Jesus was born in a stable, where he was a simple setting, nothing grand. That would reflect the way that Jesus lived his life.
I didn't think a Messiah would live a simple life.
But he did. Jesus was always amongst the people, teaching, and all the ordinary people, performing miracles, trying to get the people to get closer to God. Shall we carry on with this?
Oh yeah, I'm quite enjoying it, actually.
So, Jesus was born in a simple stable. Meanwhile, that night, some shepherds were out attending their flocks.
Thank you.
I appeared to shepherds on that cold night to tell them of the birth of Jesus. In fact, a whole host of us sang praises to God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all men on whom his favour rests.
The shepherds were very scared, but we told them not to be. We were bringing good news.
I'm one of the shepherds who was out in the field last night. It was cold and I was so tired. It is a tiring and hard job being a shepherd. It's not easy rounding them up and chasing after them when they make a bid for freedom. We shepherds are kind of classed as we lower class, and I was surprised that we were told in this way.
I was there too. I was just about nodding off when there was a huge bright light in the sky. I was nearly blinded. We were all startled and scared stiff as suddenly an angel appeared, and then the whole host of them. What a vision it was. I never witnessed anything like it. We were told that a new Messiah had been born in the town of Bethlehem, and we were to go and see him.
We made our way down to the town and found our way to where the stable was right enough. There was a tiny wee baby boy all wrapped up and in a manger. We were the first people to see him apart from his parents and the animals that were there. I knew then that I was witnessing something special.
So that's the reason why shepherds are on Christmas cards.
Well, yes.
I didn't know that shepherds were classed as lower class. It seems that ordinary folk are quite important in this story. Not many prophets, though.
Well, I did it, and we made it safely to Bethlehem town. It was cold, and I was tired, but I never wore a frown. Donkeys may not be tall and handsome, but like me, just wee and grey. But it was a donkey Jesus chose to ride on long ago on Palm Sunday. Mm-hmm. With a he and a horn, a clip and a clop, if you follow Jesus, you'll never want to stop.
Oh, that wee donkey. I just love him.
I thought you would like him. He's so cute, isn't he? Another time, I will tell you about the Easter story.
Oh, that would be good. Mm-hmm. I'd like that. So what happened next? What about the Magi guys?
Well, watch and see is coming up.
We followed the star and it took us to Israel,
to a small town called Bethlehem.
It was a long journey, but eventually the star led us to the place where the new king was.
As usual, I was left to organise the gifts for this new king. Myrrh from Balthazar, gold from Melchior, and frankincense from me. When we arrived there, it was a bit crowded with shepherds and animals. Not what we expected, but we just knew we had witnessed something very special.
So that's why we give presents at Christmas?
Well, the presents we give are really not important. There's no need to spend lots and lots of money at Christmas to make it a happy one.
Kind of strange gifts for a baby, even in those days.
Well, these are a bit of a significance with the gifts. Gold is something that we would be given only to kings, and it was rare and expensive. Frankincense, that was burned as an incense, and it was also associated with the worship of a deity. Myrrh was often used as an anointing oil used in preparing a body for burial. All of these things would be significant in Jesus' last days. But that's for another day.
Oh, how very knowledgeable. How do you know all these things?
Well, just by going to church, reading my Bible. What are you thinking about?
Oh, well, if Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God, do you think he knew that this virus was going to come to us?
Well, God does know everything.
But he couldn't get rid of it so that we could enjoy Christmas. Oh, I know, it's not all about parties, etc. But, well, it's Jesus' birthday after all, as you've just told me, so it should be okay to celebrate. But I don't give up much hope.
Hope for what?
A good Christmas, you know. Celebrations. And I'm not just talking about the sweeties.
We must keep hope alive. It may be a different kind of Christmas this year, but as the message remains just the same, Jesus was born to save us from all sin and give us hope for having a relationship with God. If we try to be more like him, we can be better people and the world can become a better place.
Even during all this virus stuff?
Yes, even through all this virus stuff. God didn't say life would be easy, and we can't blame him for everything that goes wrong in the world.
Really?
Yes, really. The best present we have ever had is Jesus Christ. If you let him into your life, you will see that. It's a bit like Christmas every day.
Oh, every day.
Without the presents and the sweeties, of course. He is the present.
I suppose it's all about giving as well as receiving at this time. And remembering it others. Oh, look, that's such a lovely image. They're all there, shepherds, wise men and everything.
Oh, it's a lovely scene, a nice scene, but a powerful one. Reminding us that Jesus was born not in a fancy palace, but in a dingy stable to an ordinary couple. That's how he would live his life. Not impressed by wealth and rich, but by the ordinary people like you and I. To make a difference at Christmas and always every day.
Oh, well, thank you for all that. That was lovely. Merry Christmas.
And a happy Christmas to you too.
Thank you.
We will now dedicate our offerings. Let us pray. Dear God, this is a time when we have our minds on gift and giving. Please accept our gifts of service, devotion, and money, which we return to you from the generosity of your gifts to us. And we pray that our offerings will be used wisely in building up your kingdom. Amen. And we will now offer up our prayers for others. Dear Father, we pray for families and friends who plan to travel over Christmas, that they and those they meet will be safe and that they may be a blessing to each other. We pray for those who have no family with which to share this time or who are unable to meet due to the COVID restrictions, that they will know the blessing of Christmas in some unexpected way. We pray for those who are unwell, that they may know your healing touch and your comforting presence. We pray for those who struggle at this time of year for whatever reason, that they might find friendship and strength through those around them and through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, Amen. And now I've been asked to thank everyone involved in the production of the Nativity this year. As you have seen, it was quite a production. Firstly, the children and their parents who dressed up and spoke so well in their recording. To Jane Campbell, who recorded the script. To Margaret Eddy and Gillian Campbell for their contributions. To Amanda Gray for organising and delivering the costumes and the Christmas gift bags. To Neil Merrilies, who put together the PowerPoint. And to the tech team who ran it this morning. And lastly, to everyone who's come to enjoy it with us today.
Thank you. I would just like to make a couple of special thanks to the children and their parents especially, who got them dressed up, thanks to Amanda and the costumes, and for recording them and taking their pictures and allowing us to use them. I think it was so nice that the children wanted to be involved with the nativity. Not quite the same having them up here, little angels falling off the stairs and scratching their heads and picking their nose and stuff like that, but at least it's brought a little bit of kind of joy to us today. Thank you to all the technical teams, and thank you for coming along. It's been a bit different this year, but we were so just glad that the children could take part in the nativity. Thank you very much.
And our final hymn this morning is O Come All Ye Faithful. We will end our service by saying the grace together. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.